What's up, everyone? Good morning and welcome to our Water's Edge online Sunday morning worship experience. Once again, thank you so very much for tuning in and hanging out with us today. We just want you to know, happy Easter. We absolutely love you. For those of you that continue to like and share these online worship experiences with your circle of influence, thank you so very much for doing that. Continue to do that. We have people that are tuning in from all over the place. And also for those of you that continue to worship with us online through giving and generosity, meeting our new $10 challenge, thank you so very much for doing that. Continue to do that. You're allowing us to help more people, love more people, feed more people, and serve more people. Over the past few weeks, we've been in this amazing series called Shaking the Earth about worship, personal worship, and corporate worship. And we have learned so many amazing personal things that we've applied to our life. People have told me over the past few weeks that it has spoken directly to their soul. But we've also talked about other things. We've talked about forgiveness. We've talked about the cross, and we've talked about resurrection. And so today is Easter, and I just have this question. What else is there to talk about on Easter? Like, what else is there to talk about? If we were just going to have a day where we're just going to be real and honest and not get all churchy and not get all religious and not get all traditional and typical, if right now, if we're just wanting to have this real and this refreshing moment and this honest and transparent moment together today on Easter, then let me ask this question again. What else is there to talk about? If we've already talked about the cross, if we've already talked about God's love, if we've already talked about the resurrection over and over and over again, what else is there to talk about? Because I have a feeling we've talked about it all before, and I have a feeling that many of you, especially those of you that grew up in church, have heard it all before on Easter. Jesus died for you, so that means that he loves you. Jesus was placed inside of a grave. He was placed inside of a tomb, and sometimes we feel alone too. And then Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't stay dead, but he stepped out of the grave, and we can have a new beginning and we can have a new life too. We expect all of that on Easter in church because of religion. We expect the typical, but Jesus just wasn't very typical. And so honestly, what else is there to talk about? If today is going to spark or ignite some sort of fire inside of you or some sort of passion inside of you or some sort of hope or inspiration or encouragement or life change inside of you, then again, what else is there to talk about? Because I think we've heard it all before. Several years ago, when I was around 8 years old, that was 40 years ago, shut up. So 40 years ago, when I was 8 years old, I remember one Easter Sunday morning, we were going to a big church. And right after that, we had lunch on the grounds and we had this big Easter egg hunt for the kids program, the children's program, pretty big church. So there was like 200 kids there. And we were way out into this church land, this church field, this churchyard. And we had food out there and we were hunting Easter eggs. And there was this old brick building that was abandoned that wasn't really being used by the church in the corner of that lot. And the bushes behind the building and the trees behind the building were growing up. And so some of the parents thought it was a good idea to go hide some Easter eggs over there. And I'm sure that we probably did this every single year, hunting Easter eggs, having church and lunch on the grounds with all the other parents and all the other kids. But I got to be honest with you, I don't remember any of them. But I remember this one specifically when I was 8 years old. And there's a reason why. In my life, I have sat through so many Easter Sunday school lessons, so many Easter messages, so many Easter services with Easter choirs and Easter choir concerts and Easter egg hunts. And again, I do not remember any of them, but I do remember this one when I was 8 years old. I don't remember any of the sermons. I don't remember any of the messages. I don't remember any of the lessons. I don't remember any of the concerts. I don't remember any of the other Easter egg hunts, but I certainly remember this one. And I do remember this one. And let me tell you why. As we're hunting Easter eggs and we're all running around trying to find them, this is what happened to me. I run to that building because I know there's a lot of Easter eggs hidden by that building, around that building, and behind that building. And so as I'm running behind that building, trying to get as many Easter eggs as I can get so I could win the contest against all the other kids, I run around the back of that building and I step on this huge green and black snake. It was bigger than my arm. And man, as soon as I jumped on that snake, it startled me. And it startled the snake. In fact, I jumped as far away from that snake as I could get, and that snake jumped at me, but I was too far away. And so thank God it didn't get me. But anyway, man, I remember that that, and I never will forget that. Right after that, that snake took off into the bushes, and I took off to find my mama. I remember that Easter. In fact, I have never forgotten that Easter, and here's why, because that was a real experience. And that real experience produced real feelings and real thoughts and real reactions and real emotions inside of me. And some of those feelings and some of those emotions were pretty extreme. And I think that's true for many people today. If we experience something, if we feel something, then we usually remember it. And I think that we could all agree with this today. And this is what it is, and notice this today. We hold on to what we actually experience. In the Old Testament, in the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, we have a leader named Moses who is leading the nation of Israel out of Egyptian slavery and out of Egyptian oppression and bondage. And so as they're traveling through the desert, because now they're a nation with no home, they're trying to follow God and follow God's Spirit, they have to set up these temporary tents for their prayer spaces and these temporary tents for their worship spaces and these temporary tents for their temple spaces. And so you have to understand back then that God would speak to them through a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night in these temporary spaces. And so check this out in Exodus chapter 33, verses 8 through 11. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents, and they would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. And as he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. That phrase always seemed interesting to me, and it always stuck out to me. And this is what it was, that Moses would talk to God and Moses would speak to God, God's presence and God's Spirit face to face, like someone would talk to their best friend. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like an experience to me. That sounds like a very real experience with God's Spirit and God's love. But is that even possible today? And if so, how is that possible? Could you and I have very real experiences with the love of God and the Spirit of God? Because honestly, we can forget a lot of information, and we can forget a lot of details, and we can forget a lot of lessons, and we can forget a lot of religion, but we normally don't forget an experience that moves us. We normally don't forget an experience that changes us. What a beautiful and sacred and holy moment to possibly have a very real experience, a real personal experience with the love of God and the Spirit of God. Check this out today if you're still with me. Sam's still with you. 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, and you've heard me mention this passage before. Such love, God's love, has no fear, because perfect love is going to cast out all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates their fellow person, their fellow human, or their fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people whom we can see, how can we love God that we cannot see? And He has given us this command that those who love God must also love each other. And He has given us, notice this, this command that those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Right here, the apostle says that if we live with this constant fear that God is going to punish us, if we live with this constant fear that we're not worthy enough for God and we're not good enough for God and God must have some always be angry with us and always be frustrated with us, and we have this fear that God's supposed to punish us, then that means that we have not fully experienced, it says, God's love. We have not fully experienced God's grace and God's presence. And understand something, that he implies that God's love is so real and God's presence is so real that you can know it on a personal level and you can experience it. But what if there was some sort of experiment? Today, I want to teach you how to have an experience with God, something that guarantees It literally guarantees that you have a real experience with Christ. And so what if there was some sort of experiment that we could do that would help us experience God on a personal level just a little bit more, something or anything that would help us connect with Jesus? If so, what is it? What could we do specifically right now in our life that would cause us to have a face-to-face encounter with God? Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That sounds like some sort of experience, with God's love and God's Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings as we do, yet he did not sin. So let us go boldly to the throne of our gracious God right now. And there we're going to receive his mercy and we're going to find grace to help us in our time of need. This sounds like some sort of experience, some sort of real personal experience that we can have with God and with God's love at the throne of grace and with God's Spirit, where we can find help to help us in our time of need. That sounds like something real. That sounds like something that you won't forget. That's more than religion. That's more than details. That's more than information. That's more than the typical. That's more than tradition. This is a very real experience. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, God says, if you look for me with all of your heart, you will find me. If you seek me and search me with everything that you have, you will discover me on a personal way. I don't know about you, but that sounds like an experience to me. Hebrews 11, 6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Apparently, when we really seek God with our entire heart, he rewards us. But with what? With very real personal experiences with his love and with his grace. But again, is there something we can do that guarantees that you and I have a very real personal experience with the Spirit of Christ, like a test or a plan to follow? I grew up in church, and all my life I had this real fear of God until I finally had a very personal experience with the love of God. I remember growing up in church my entire life. And then one night when I was 19 years old, God had been chasing after me for 10 years, speaking to my heart, telling me that he loved me, telling me that he wanted me, telling me that he wanted to change my life, calling me to himself, his Spirit and his love. And finally, when I was 19 years old, man, I just gave up and I just gave in to God. I went and woke my dad up one night. He was actually waiting on me, and my dad came back with me to my bedroom, and we got on my face in my bedroom, and I begged Jesus to come into my life, and I begged Jesus to change my life. And I know what some of you are thinking, Tony, is that the experience that helped you experience God's love and God's Spirit in a very personal way? And have you just been experiencing his love and his Spirit in a real way ever since? Let me give you the answer to that question. The simple answer is this: No. That was just a very specific moment in my life when I was 19 years old, turning 20, when I got really serious about my faith and really serious about my discipleship and really serious about my relationship with Jesus Christ. But it was actually something else that made God's love and God's Spirit very, very real to me and very personal to me. Here's the test. Here's the plan to follow. Here's what can guarantee, if you want to have real experiences with the love of Christ and the love of God and the presence of God, here's the guarantee. Notice this today, John chapter 14, verses 20 through 21. When I am raised to life, Jesus says again, you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. That sounds like a personal experience. Jesus is in us, and we abide in him. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. Notice this, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to each of them. Jesus says this: if you want to experience me, love me, follow me and keep my commandments, and if you love me and if you follow me and if you keep my commandments, then this is what's going to happen. I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'm going to manifest myself to you in a real way and in a personal way over and over and over again. Notice what Jesus is saying, that after the resurrection, after Easter, which is what we're celebrating today, he tells his disciples, you can know that I'm alive because I am in you. That sounds real. That sounds personal. That sounds like an experience. And then he says this, I will personally reveal myself to people over and over and over again who love me to the point where they follow me and keep my commandments. And of course, what are the commandments of Jesus in the New Testament? He said the two greatest commandments sum up all the other commandments. So let's start there. If we really love Jesus and we really want to experience him on this Easter in a very personal way, then this is the test. This is what we do. We start to follow him and obey his commandments. And as we do that, he reveals himself to us in a personal way. But what's the two greatest commandments? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and to love all people, to love your neighbor as yourself. He even said this, I give you a new commandment, and that new commandment is to love each other just like I have loved you. I remember the first time I really, really came face to face with an experience with God that was personal, and I knew it was personal, and I knew it was a real experience with God's Spirit. And it was after I got serious about my faith, and I had been living my faith and following Jesus for a few years, and then I had this young adult group that I was a part of at my church where my dad pastored. This young adult group was amazing. It was in that time in my life when my faith really grew and my faith really caught fire. And I remember these people that we knew had informed me and just two of my friends from that group, me and two of my friends, that there was this older lady that lived way out in the woods in the small little community that we were from. And one of her neighbors noticed that she was hurting, that she was sick, that her house was falling apart, that she didn't have any food, that she couldn't afford her medicine. And so she told me and two of my friends about her. And so we got super concerned and we went out and we found her house way out in the woods. And when we walked into her house, it broke our heart. She had holes in the ceiling where rain would come in. Her floor was rotting out. You could see the ground, the muddy ground underneath her house because she had holes in her floor. She was cooking cans of vegetables and cans of food over an open flame because she had no electricity and no power. She was a diabetic. She couldn't eat right. She couldn't afford her medicine. And in that moment, my heart just broke. It broke for a real person who was helpless that I knew God loved and Jesus died for. And in that moment, I felt like God's Spirit asked me a question. And this is what the question was, Tony, if you were in this situation, wouldn't you want someone to show up? Tony, if you were in this situation and hurting like this, wouldn't you want someone or a few people that really loved God? Wouldn't you want them to show up and help you? And the answer was, yes, I would. And so me and my two friends, we cleaned her house. We cleaned her yard. We cut down trees. We mowed her grass. We patched her ceiling. We patched her floor. We got her power back going. And then we got her an appointment at the Charity Hospital back in Lake Charles back then at the time so she could see a doctor for free and get her medication. And I got to be honest with you, through that experience, Jesus became so personal to me and so real to me. I remember experiencing God in such a personal way through helping her and loving her with two of my friends from our young adult group. It changed me forever because it was in that moment Jesus revealed himself to me because I was obeying his commands to love him with all my heart, soul, and mind, but also to love someone else. And I know it's some of you are thinking, Tony, what does that mean for me? Great question. This is what it means. Let me give you a challenge. This Easter, if you want Jesus to become more real to you, if you want to have some very real personal experiences with God that just makes your faith grow and makes your faith get stronger and stronger and stronger, then remember this today. If you're still with me, Sam's still with you. When I started loving other people like Jesus and serving other people and showing compassion to other people like Jesus and treating other people with grace, while at the same time seeking God through personal devotion and worship, then that is when I started having real experiences with God's love and God's Spirit. Let me say that again. When I started trying to love other people and that led me to serve other people and reach out to other people and help other people like Jesus, when I followed his commands to love him and to love other people, and at the same time, I worked on my personal devotion and worshiping God, that's when Jesus became more real to me. So let me give you three questions today to take home with you. And these three questions are like a filter. If we will wake up every single day and ask and answer these three questions and filter our actions and our reactions and our choices and our pathways and our life through these three questions, then I can promise you, you will start to have some very real experiences with our real God who really rose from the dead on Easter, which is why we celebrate today. The first question is this, if you're still with me, Sam's still with you. How can I love God today through worship and with my actions and with my reactions? Ask yourself that question every single day and live it out. How can I love God today through my worship, through my actions, and through my reactions? The second question is this, how can I show unconditional love today with no judgment, no condemnation to other people? Practice that. Follow Jesus in that area. Every single day, the people that you meet and come in contact with, show them compassion and love with no judgment and no condemnation. And the third question is this, how can I serve people today who are hurting with the love of God? If you will base your life around that and ask that question, then you will start to experience more of God's Spirit. And if this becomes our starting point, and this has to be our starting point, not religion, not tradition, not judgment, not shame, not fear, then when this becomes our starting point, how can I love God better through my worship and through my devotion? How can I love other people better through my love and through my servanthood with no strings attached? If we can start there, then this is what happens. More and more and more, Jesus is going to reveal himself to you, and we will experience his love and his Spirit over and over and over again. And so you say, Tony, I want to have some very real experiences with the love of God and the Spirit of God. What do I do? Do this. If you're still with me, Sam, still with you. Walk in his love and share God's love with all people and see what happens. Walk in his love and share God's love. Walk in his love and share God's love and see what happens. Because Jesus says, I reveal myself to people who obey. Thank you so very much for hanging out with us today. Happy Easter. We love you all. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we cannot wait to see you back next week. Thank you so much for joining us today.